Father, as we come before thee, we pray that thou wouldst open our eyes and our ears and our understanding as we read thy word, as it's been preserved for us. Guide our thoughts, in Jesus' name, amen. I'd like if we can turn to Malachi chapter 3. The book of Malachi is fairly somber. If I read the footnotes in my Bible, Malachi chapter 1, just above or below that, it says, God by Malachi complains of Israel's ingratitude and irreligiousness and profaneness. And as you read through chapter 1 and 2, you can just see that the people have drifted far from God. The Israelites have drifted far. And they've drifted so far that they don't even know they've drifted, or if they do know if they've drifted, that they've drifted, they deny it. And they're complaining. And so the verses I would like to touch on are in Malachi 3:16. Like John 3:16, but Malachi 3:16. 3:16 and 17, and I'd like to read those now. So, once again, all the way up to here, there's been complaints. But then finally, it's almost like God flips the coin and looks at the other side. And he, instead of focusing on all the complainers, he starts to focus on those that are actually spiritually there, who understand his word. And he says, then they that feared the Lord spoke often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. I'd like to stop there for a minute. So let me just contrast that with some of the verses prior to that, just so you get a flavor of what is really going on. Verse 17 of chapter 2. Ye have wearied the Lord with your words. Yet ye say, wherein have we wearied thee? So God is saying, you're just tiring me out. And they're saying, no, we're not tiring you out. And wherefore, and God says, when ye say, everyone that doeth evil is good in the sight of the Lord, and he delighteth in them. Where is the God of judgment? So he's just kind of pointing out that here, there's all sorts of people doing evil. You're all doing evil, and you're saying, no, this is good. And when I read that, there's just such a parallel today where all this evil is going around, and people are saying, yeah, this is good. You know, there's nothing wrong. Everything is good. God is love. Everything's good. You know, we're doing exactly what he says. So God is saying, everyone that doeth evil, you're wearying me by saying that everyone is doing good when they're actually doing evil. Then going into chapter 3, God says, behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come to his temple. So this is talking about Christ's return and John the Baptist, the messenger. Even the messenger of the covenant whom ye delight in, behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. But who may abide the day of his coming? So when the one that you're seeking comes, when Christ comes, you're not going to be able to take it. Who may abide the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he is like a refiner's fire and a fuller's soap. And it talks about, you know, he's going to put everything right. He's going to clean everything. He's going to purge out the dross from the silver and the gold. And later on in the chapter, it talks about the refiner as he sits. And it's like he has the precious metal there. And it's not that he's just kind of warming it up and, you know, it's getting a little tested. No, he's paying very detailed attention, and he's scraping out that dross as it comes. And he's refining. He's a refiner. Going down, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, the sons of Jacob are not consumed. Even from the days of your fathers, ye have gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return to you. But ye say, wherein shall we return?" So once again, he's saying, you've gone far. And they're saying, no, we haven't gone anywhere. And then he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me." And he talks about how they've robbed him in tithes and offerings. And he even gives them a promise. He says, "Bring in all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that you shall not be able to, not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer." So you can just see there's a lot of heaviness here. But, and then it gets down to verse 13. "Your words," God says to them, "your words have been stout against me." They've been terrible words against me. "For ye shall be..." "Your words have been stout against me, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, what have we spoken so much against thee?" So once again, there's this accusation, this bringing a clarity. "Let me sit you down and tell you exactly what you're doing wrong." And there's this denial. "What have we done? What have we said?" And then he says, "Ye have said, it is vain to serve God. And what profit is it that we have kept the ordinances?" So they were complaining that they look around them and it seems like the wicked are profiting. And indeed, even today, we look and it seems like the wicked are profiting. And they had it in their head that, no, if we keep God's commandments, we should be the ones profiting. And this is a problem. They're not thinking right. And so all these verses, all the way through here, all the way down to verse 16, they're complaining, he's explaining, and they're not getting it. And then all of a sudden, he just makes a comment. He says, "Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." So let's just stop there. You know, sometime I'm home, and you know, in the garage, I have Alexa. She belongs out in the garage. Because Alexa can turn on the lights, and she can tell me the weather, and she can tell me the time. And I don't have to touch anything, right? You just say, "Alexa..." Oh, I'm sorry. You don't want Alexa to speak up, right? Because you say the word, and she's listening. And it turns out they're listening all the time, right? Or Siri. We got to be careful about Siri, too. You use those key words. And indeed, if you say the word Joe or Bob or Veronica or Stephanie, all of a sudden, or Lee or Tim, all of a sudden you perk up. "Oh, my name has been called." "Then they that fear the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it." And you know, it's kind of hard to think about this, but now we have a little bit better picture that when we are speaking about the Lord, when we do come together, when we are exhorting, you know, before it says here that a book of remembrance was written before them that feared the Lord. A book of remembrance was written. And I just want to take a brief journey back into the Old Testament a little further, back to Esther. And if you remember in the book of Esther, that Esther becomes queen, and her, uncle is Mordecai. And just as she's becoming queen, back in Esther chapter 2, Mordecai sat in the king's gate, and he had heard that two of the keepers of the doors of the king were plotting against King Ahasuerus. And he told Esther, "Hey, these two guys are angry at the king, and they're plotting against him, and they're kind of close to the king." And indeed, Esther tells the king, and an inquiry is made, and indeed, there was a plot against the king, and those two men were hanged. And it says, and it was written in the book of the Chronicles before the king. It was written down. And then as the book of Esther progresses, we see that the evil Haman is plotting against the Jews to kill the Jews. And indeed, on top of it all, Mordecai is really rubbing him in the wrong way, and he wants Mordecai gone. And he's trying to figure it out, and his wife and his friends say, hey, don't let Mordecai bother you. Set up a gallows for Mordecai and have him hanged, right? This is what Haman is thinking. And as that closes in chapter 5, and Haman's thinking about hanging Mordecai, that night, it says in chapter 6, verse 1, the king could not sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles, and they were read before the king. So even back then, there were chronicles, there was books of remembrance was written, and it turns out that as it was being read, it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, and it was recounted to the king what had happened and how Mordecai had really saved the king. And the king said, wow, what was done for Mordecai? It's like, read to me more. What was done for Mordecai? Nothing was done. And indeed, that turns out to save Mordecai, right? And all the Jews. So it's not odd that there's books of remembrance. It's not odd that if we think now that Siri or Alexa or Google or Apple or whoever has our data, not just has our data, but kind of has our words, knows what we're talking about, has a big database. So why is it that we should be so surprised that God has a big database? That's probably saying it lightly. He knows everything that's going on. And so here, when we read that they that feared the Lord. So let's talk about that. We just had Pine Valley. We had they that feared. We talked about the fear of God. And in Proverbs 8:13, it says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. That was a great passage, right? So when we're talking about fear, we're really talking about hating that which God hates. And of course, you're kind of having to read and understand what God hates. But the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. And then the fear of the Lord is fear is the beginning of knowledge. And by fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. So not only do you, when you hate evil, you need to depart from evil, right? They kind of go together. And so when they that feared the Lord, when those people that hated evil departed from evil, they needed some encouragement because around them was a lot of evil. And it said they came often one to the other, came often one to the other. And then I'd like to just briefly turn to Hebrews. Because as I think of our little group here today, in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 1, it talks about having a shadow. The law is a shadow of the good things to come. The law is not the good thing. It's the shadow of the good thing. And then God talks about writing his word in our heart. And then as we get down, let us hold fast the profession, and let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, and not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So even when we come here and we see each other, and we're talking in Bible class, and when we're hearing the morning message, and we go to lunch, and we're talking about more than the weather, right? When all of this is happening, you know that the Lord hears as you come often together. You know, are we coming once a month? Are we coming every week? If there's midweek, do we come together, right? And so much the more. And a book of remembrance was written before them, for him, before God, for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. And then here it is. What does he say? And they shall be mine, saith the Lord, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. And so now let's think about those treasures, right? You know, sometimes I'm walking at the beach and there's a rock. And that's a really nice rock. And I don't know what makes a rock nice or not nice, but it's just peculiar, right? It's just, and it's kind of, you pick it up, it's like, yeah, this is mine. I'm going to take this home. Now, indeed, I used to have a little special place for my rocks, and now I just kind of put them out by the fountain. But when we think of things that are special, right? Do you have a drawer? When I was a kid, I had a special drawer. That's where all my special things went. And what made them special or not special, you know, I don't know what that was to me, but somehow there was something that was special. I remember I saw an old hatchet at a garage sale. And it was all worn and rusty, and I thought, you know, that is a nice little hatchet. And I took it home, and I spent some time, and I polished it up, and I made a little sheath for it. And, you know, that was my special hatchet, and it sat in the drawer for a long time until somebody borrowed it. I don't know where it is now. Hopefully it's not gone. But it was special, right? Set apart. And here, and they shall be mine. God sees those who fear him. He hears those who talk about him. He writes a book of remembrance. And he says, and they're mine, saith the Lord. And there's going to come a day where I'm going to come and I'm going to take up my jewels. All the pure ones, all the bright ones, right? We have a song about that. His love to his own. You know, when I was a child, I don't think I really understood that song. But as I read this verse, I was reminded of the song. And so let's just keep this in mind, that as often as we gather together, as often as we talk one with another, as often as we, in Hebrews, as it says in Hebrews, edify and uplift and try to bring each other and encourage each other in God, we are his special jewels, his loved, his own.